Welcome to the Get Balanced Podcast. I am Dr. Donnie, and today we are kicking off our fourth season. We have the Health, Safety, and Wellness Division Chief, John Schmidt of Pasco County. No better person to kick off a new season than someone that has the expertise and the foresight and being proactive with all of the health, safety, and wellness. Welcome back, episode 154.
Welcome to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
All right, welcome everybody to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie. And today I have a wonderful guest. It is Chief John Schmidt of Pasco County, Florida. I believe Chief of your Safety Health, right?
And correct.
And well, let me welcome you to the podcast, Chief.
Thank you very much. This is an honor, and I'm excited to be here and be able to spend a little bit of time with you.
Oh, thank you very much, John. And John's a rookie, everyone out there, just to let you know, he's a rookie. So, which is great. I absolutely love getting new people on podcasts because we're just here to have a conversation and learn about life's experiences and things we've learned over the years, right?
So yeah,
with that, John, tell us a little bit, if you would, to give the listeners a little talk about, you know, how you started your career and sort of that career path, because you have a few years under your belt, I believe.
Yes, I do. So actually, I have about 37 years. I'm in my 37th year of the fire service. I started my career back in the mid 80s, volunteering at a fire station that was down the street from us. My dad was a volunteer there years prior. And my grandmother's brothers were firefighters with New York City. So It goes back, kind of skipped a couple generations, but that's okay. I got in doing volunteer. When I went to the fire academy, you had to have a sponsor. And either you had to have a fire department that had hired you, or you volunteered and they wrote a letter of sponsorship to you. So I had to volunteer for at least a year before I would get that letter and so on and so forth. Anyhow, moving forward, I enjoyed it. I loved it. Got that sponsorship, went through the fire academy. A couple years later, got hired for the city of Seminole in Pinellas County, Florida. And I did most of my career there. And actually, I did the rest of my career there. I retired from the city of Seminole in 2016. Just prior to coming to Pasco County, I worked for St. Pete Beach for about 7 months as a district chief. Really enjoyed my time there, but an opportunity presented itself from Pasco County. And in March, it'll be 5 years in Pasco County. So I've really enjoyed the journey.
No, that is outstanding. So I got to ask you the first question that came to my mind when you said you retired from Seminole. Exactly how long were you retired? Before you made the move.
Well, I actually did sales for about 14 months, and then I got back into the fire service with St. Pete Beach. So I'd been at Seminole for about 26 years and retired from there. And I think I took 2 weeks off, and that was it. But I've got a young daughter. She's a freshman in college. So, and she, right now, she's on the path to be a chiropractor. So we've got 8 years of school in front of us.
Oh,
so
wow.
I got to work a little bit more.
Yeah. Where does she go to school?
She's going to Union University in Jackson, Tennessee. It's a small, about 3,500 students, but they have a pre-chiropractic program that she can follow.
Oh, yeah.
So now,
where's Jackson?
She's excited.
At? Where's Jackson at in the state?
So Jackson is halfway between Memphis and Nashville.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I have a daughter in Nashville at Vanderbilt University.
Oh, okay. Yep. Yes. Yeah. We actually looked at Vanderbilt and Lipscomb and
yeah, so, they have that whole group of colleges right there.
Yep. Though. Yep. We were hoping for Lipscomb, but they just, they didn't give us a scholarship that, that Union offered. So sometimes it comes out of money. I'm just a fireman.
Oh, hey, I have two girls in college and all on big time scholarships, and I'm so thankful. Yeah.
Yes.
It's really the only way grateful. To get done.
Yeah.
One child, or do you have older?
I actually had a stepdaughter. She passed away in 2019. My daughter from my first wife lives locally with her husband and two boys. And then my youngest daughter, Callie, she's the one away at school with my current wife.
Gotcha. I'm sorry to hear that about your stepdaughter.
Yeah, it was a tough time, but tough times make people stronger.
Yeah, absolutely. So you were married, divorced, remarried.
Yep, and still married to the second wife.
Hey, I'm in the same boat. Married, divorced, and remarried. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, very, very good. And my divorce, that was a long time ago. My kids were small, and I the four kids stayed with me. So and the two dogs. People know my story a little bit. It is chaos. It is chaos for a while.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is.
So I know what you sort of go through a little bit there.
Yeah.
So but tell me though, pardon me.
I said I figured it out. So
yeah, that's what you do. You end up figuring it out. Absolutely. So tell me, you're also involved from on the national/international level, right? With the IFC.
Yes, I am. So it's exciting to have gotten voted into the safety, health, and survival section for the iChiefs. The health and safety of our firefighters has really become a passion of mine over the last 10 years or so. When I retired from the city of Seminole, I was a training chief, and we had one of our firefighters die of cancer back then, and it was not considered line of duty I forget what year it was, 2011, 12, somewhere in there, 13. But he and I had actually gone to school together, elementary school together. So I'd known him for a number of years. And, so it was pretty, we were pretty close, and that just changed my whole perspective on health and safety for our firefighters and how important we've really got to change what we're doing and why we're doing it. The information from the University of Miami was just coming out about our bunker gear being dirty and cross-contaminating and all that. And it was a concept that we really didn't want to grasp. I didn't want to grasp it. But after watching and actually being called into the room with Frank's wife when the doctor pronounced, that was a moment that, okay, this has got to stop. We got to do something different. And so I started making changes in our organization, small as they were, but a lot of those changes now are being embraced across the nation and both nationally and internationally. So being a part of the safety, health, and survival section seemed like a great platform to be able to have these conversations. And even though it's not just about cancer in this group, it's, mental health, it's bullying, it's, the whole gambit. Which is what I love, because now I'm learning a lot more about the total firefighter.
Oh, yes. Yes. And speaking of the total firefighter, since this is called the Get Balanced Podcast, got to swing it over to the work-life balance here a little bit, right? No, but I, in case for those that are listening, I always like to start off with, when I talk about work-life balance, I like to share what my working definition of work-life balance is, which is pretty simple. It's just, I call it aligning your daily behaviors with your priorities in life.
Sure.
And as we go through life, I don't think there are many that do not put their health and wellness, right? Physical, mental health as a thinking that should be a priority and family they should be a priority. Right.
Yeah.
But the big question is are our behaviors in alignment with those given priorities? That's where we get a little out of whack sometimes, right?
Yes. Yep.
And on the mental health, I've started doing a lot of work on the what I like to call the proactive behavioral health. How do we start fixing the small things in our life? Because it's so sad, I think, right now, is that where we're at with therapy is that therapy comes in when pretty much everything comes crashing down.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yep.
You know, we need to get way up on the river, if you will, way upstream, and start saying, wait a minute, when we start getting some bumps and bruises in the raft of life that we're floating down this river on, yep, as a firefighter or law enforcement or anyone in public safety,
right,
we need to start being more proactive. Not right, just we as an individual, but I want to, you know, I argue that we as a culture in the service, in public safety, and leaders need to start. Yep. And peer support teams, you know, what kind of tools can we give, yep, them? You know,
yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, I want to get your thoughts on that, where I'm sort of trying to make my pitch, if you will, to public safety.
Well, I agree with you 100%. In fact, you know, I'm fortunate I get to go to many health and safety related conferences, which I think is very important. I believe in learning more because I don't know it all. You know, what I grew up in as far as being a firefighter, you know, it's just, you just do it and, you know, there's going to be some bumps and bruises and you just got to kind of heal through those and move on. But one of the things that I noticed probably about 2 years ago was all of the speakers would talk about firefighters, our firefighters, your firefighters, the firefighters, the firefighters. And I want to change that narrative to, these are men and women, you know, moms and dads, aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters, because that's what they are before firefighters. You know, just like, you know, I've got family members who are in law enforcement and, you know, and I've got friends I grew up with who are LEOs. And the expectation is by the community is that we are always on duty.
Yeah.
But we can't always be on duty. We have to have that break. And so in my narrative, and particularly when I talk about our members, is that I want them to know that I care about them as men and women, you know, moms and dads, brothers and sisters first, because I want to take care of them on their days off. I want them to have a full life on their 2 days off, because then I believe if they know that I care about their 2 days off, they also know that I care about their one shift on, that they'll come in and they'll give me everything they have. And then it's okay to go and relax those 2 days. And I think that that's really important to start striking that life work balance to enjoy and have a fulfilled life, you know, those 48 hours that you're off. So I think I think it's right along aligned with what you're talking about. And as I've gotten older and being a day chief, you know, my days, I remember when I was the training safety chief in Seminole, I was doing 50, 60 hours a week. I was expected to be on call, run to fires, you know, any working incident after hours. I wasn't really given, and I'm not trying to talk badly about them, but I wasn't given flex time or the ability to take time off. If I go to a fire and I'm at a fire for 3 hours in the middle of the night, I was expected to work 8 hours the next day.
Yeah.
So that really defined for me, okay, I've got to be intentional in what I do. And it's okay for me to not be the training chief, you know, from 4 till 8 the next morning or the, you know, Saturday and Sunday. It's okay for me to be the dad and the husband and the brother that I need to be.
Yeah. No, that is great advice. And I love the, you know, I big stars on my notes here. I love your statement about changing the narrative from firefighter to firefighter, firefighter, or as you said, even law enforcement, right? Everyone to husbands, wives, brothers and sisters, and just people,
yep,
right?
Yep.
And how do you, or have you considered, you know, you can in from the health and healthy behaviors, whether physical, social, yep, spiritual, mental, all of that, but you know, you sort of have, you know, a department has a firefighter for 24 hours and then they go away for 48 hours. Have you thought about, or have you guys been doing anything on how do you support them on those 48 hours where they're not in your line of sight, if you will? Because I've talked to a few others and these are coming more from some of the cities to where people live a couple hours away because of real estate cost and things like that,
right,
where the, you know, they go home for 2 hours. So they're not part of the community where they work.
Right.
Some of the folks I've been talking to, health and wellness officers at those departments, they talk about how they feel like they don't quite have a good touch with them, you know, because of that distance. Have you gone through anything like that?
Yes. And actually throughout my career, I've kind of seen it get further and further apart. You know, when I first started, even as a volunteer, you know, we'd have dinners together and families would come and hang out. And even when I started in my career, you know, we would go out, we'd do ball games, we'd go golfing together. And over time, that has kind of changed. I think there's a lot of factors that have impacted that. You know, there's the obviously the financial side, you know, you making enough money to buy in the community that you work in. And then people just, you know, sometimes they just want to separate, you know, and this may be a subject that many don't like to hear. I grew up with the common dorm. You know, we didn't have separations. We didn't have partitions. We had, you know, 5-6 beds and we all slept in the same dorm room. And, you know, we watched TV together and then we typically all went to bed about the same time. Where now we allow our firefighters and there's, I think there is some benefit for that, but I think it takes away from that community, that we need to have. I mean, we have some very strong community among some of our stations. And then there's some stations where, you know, it's not as strong. And when I say our state, I don't mean Pasco County. I mean the fire service in general. I'm not talking specifically about, but I have often thought about, what you exactly just said. How do we support them on their days off? And I've actually had some conversations with some folks along those lines. What do we do? Kind of like prep, you know. I have actually had some conversations with the University of Miami folks, you know, about coming up with a recommendation for prepping for your shift, kind of like an athlete before a game, you know, because obviously we don't want them drinking caffeine or, you know, alcohol and all that the night before they come into work. I want them drinking water so they're being prepared, you know, so they're fit and all those types of things. But what can we do for them mentally on those days off? Because I believe that we probably should have some type of mental wellness prep at the beginning of the shift or even before you get the shift. And then you probably need to have something similar after shift as well. And potentially more depending on how that shift went and, you know, what those firefighters experienced during their tour of duty. I'm stronger at the decon side, not so much on the mental health side. So mental health, I'm learning a lot. And, you know, in my last 18 months, I'm learning a lot about the mental health. And fortunately, I've got friends like Chief Bader and Chief Gansey to kind of help and direct, and Jeff Orange. And I've obviously UCF and all of them, so to kind of help me.
That's good stuff. Yeah. I like the prep shift and post shift type stuff, right?
Yep.
Actually, I got 100 thoughts running through my head right now, but
maybe that's good, maybe that's bad. I don't know.
Maybe it shows the state of my mental health.
Potentially.
All right, let me switch it over to you a little bit on the personal side. I always like to ask my guests, you know, sort of like I'm interested in like the guiding principles in life. Like, what are your guiding principles in life and where do you think they came from?
You know, I grew up in a Christian home and family. And so my family, we've always been very tight and I don't want to say religious so much as having that strong belief and knowing what I believe and being able to know to align, you know, cores and values to operate my life by. And it's okay if someone doesn't believe that, but it's not okay for them to tell me that I've got to change. So I can't come off of my core values. I got to be okay to do what I do, make the decisions that I make based on my core values. And it should transcend my personal life to my work life. I do have some core values that operate differently at home than I do at work, but I have some at work that I don't bring to the house just because of what I do and trying to keep a little bit of separation. But I believe that, our family, my family, my grandparents, on both sides, I'm still close with my brother and his family and kids, and my sister and her family and her kids. So we all are really tight. We can, pick up the phone. My parents live close by, so I get to run over and take care of them. And when they're ill, and sometimes my sister will come down and help, but my brother will call and say, "Hey, do I need to come down?" "Well, not this time. Next time you can come down." So, yeah. But it's, I don't want to say it's the golden rule, but it's the golden rule. That may sound old fashioned, but the reality is people have expectations that are selfish. I do, we all do, but mm-hmm. we have to also be okay with knowing, okay, not everything's about me. And actually, I understand also, when you talk about love languages and all those kinds of things, embracing some of that information, I like to give. And one of the ways I give, and in the job that I have now, I consider it an honor, because I'm giving back. I don't want to get promoted any higher. I don't want to be the fire chief. I don't want to be the deputy chief. I don't want to be assistant chief. I like doing what I'm doing because I can impact directly our firefighters. And if I can protect one from getting cancer, one from keeping from committing suicide or any other thing like that, then I've done my job. I can't own everybody, but if I can impact, have a little impact on a lot of people, I that's what I want to do. So I'm a giver. I enjoy to give, and I have a hard time receiving. I have a hard time receiving, people telling me you're doing a good job, and that I struggle with. I'd rather say, no, the fire chief is allowing us to do this, and the deputy chief's allowing us to do this, which is okay. I'm not looking for that praise. And then when they do give it, I have a very hard time accepting it. My wife gets on me and says, you just got to embrace that sometimes. So I just haven't figured that out yet, but I'd rather give.
We're going to jump right into an unofficial therapy session here. So John, why do you think you have such of a hard time accepting praise?
I'm pretty confident I know why. Growing up, my brother and I played sports, and we played soccer predominantly, and we were pretty decent players, but we were always told, you can't brag about yourself. You've got to let others tell you how good you are. So I never bragged about myself, but I think I took it too far and never allowed people to tell me that I was good. Of course, I was always hard on myself because I always believe you can always do better. I always look at what did we do? Okay, great. It was successful, but what could we have done to do it better or more smoothly or more efficiently, whatever. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I'm my own worst enemy, and I know it. That's the problem. I know it. It's not like I don't know it. So.
All right. We're going to do a sidebar on that one. I'll let that go.
Okay. I appreciate it.
Hey, how about, I always like to ask, folks on the show for the young firefighters out there. My son's got 2 years in firefighting right now.
Okay.
But for the young firefighters out there, what are, say, one or two great pieces of advice you'd like to share with the young folks?
So first off is, be patient and learn as much as you can. The best educator is life. So going to all those calls, the interaction between, the firefighter and their crew, the firefighter and the citizens that they're helping, just to be patient. I know everybody or a lot of people want to get promoted to the drivers or to the officer positions or even the chief positions, and those will come in time. But the best educator for me has always been on the job training. Education, the formal education, we are requiring it more and more. And that is important, and continue to learn formally, but the informal education that you get on the street is way more significant to your success in the future. People ask me, well, why do I keep going to seminars and keep taking classes? And most of my stuff is more towards leadership. And it's because I know that I need to understand this newer generation and how they learn and how they think and function, which is why I would give that advice, because I hear all the time, you know, we're in such a world now where I can look up anything I need right now on my phone and get that immediately. Where years ago, you and I, you know, when we were in school, we had to go pull up an encyclopedia. You know, I'm surprised, you know, so many people may not even know what that is.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, but you know, to get the do the research and find that information. So that's probably the number one thing that I would say. And then the second thing is they need to know exactly what you talk about is create that life balance. So many new firefighters come in and they are all in. The men and women that become firefighters and they get on the job, they're all in. They want to go to every union event and they want to work all the shifts. I remember a guy I got hired on the job with a number of years ago. He didn't even want to take his time off. And we worked for a department where you had to use your time every year or you lost it.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, it's like, dude, you got to use your time. Don't, cause you got to refresh and you got to learn. And over the years I've done that with my staff. And, you know, when you take your time off, don't answer emails. Just because I send you an email doesn't mean you have to answer it. It just means when you come back, I need you to give me this information. But you know, don't call, you know, don't text me. I'd love hearing from you, but I don't want to hear from you when you're taking your time off, because I want them to be refreshed and come back in and be able to give me everything they have. And, you know, and I see a lot of our young firefighters, they get so involved in those first 2, 3, 5 years, and then it dwindles. So what we talked about a little bit earlier, that may play into that as well, as they were so involved on the front side. Now on the back side, they're like, yeah, it didn't really get me anywhere. And, you know, I need the break and I need to go home. And all that. So,
oh yeah,
those would be the two probably the frontline things that I would say to any new firefighter coming in.
All right, excellent advice. I appreciate that. And then I a question just popped in my head, because I get it a lot at conferences and workshops, is that what is your any tips and tricks or advice on how to leave work at work? So when you finish the 24 hours and you're walking into your home, to your people that want your energy, right?
Yeah.
Any best practice out there that you'd like to share?
Well, I'm still working on mine. So I don't know. For me, I've got about a 40 to 50 minute drive home.
Yeah.
So, and unfortunately, a lot of times I'm on the phone doing work on my way home, so I can't shut it down right away. I have found myself just sitting in the car when I got home for 10 or 15 minutes and just try to take a breath and let it go. I do my best not to open up the computer and do anything for work if I can, and try to focus on my wife. And now that we're empty nesters, just focus on my wife, you know, see how her day went and just try to stay focused there. That's pretty much what I do, or we try to plan to go do something I usually go work out. I'll go for a walk or run or a bike ride or do some type of workout, right when I get home, so that I can take that energy somewhere else and make it, valuable for me healthy wise, you know, as a person.
Yeah, no, that's great. It's great. Well, we're about up on time. Is there anything that I did not ask you that you wished I would have that we can talk about?
No, I think you hit pretty much everything what I anticipated, you know, us covering. You know, I just I probably the biggest thing that I, you know, in our conversation about not just firefighters but police and military is exactly what I said, is that they've got to be okay with being, you know, the men and women, brothers and sisters, and leadership needs to also be okay with that as well, that they are not on duty 24/7. You know, I found that our members across law enforcement, fire, even military, they will respond when there's a threat, when there's something that they have to do, but they don't go looking for it, you know. And we've got to not look for it, but you do it when you have to. You know, we just celebrated one of our firefighters who works at a CrossFit gym, and he was working out. Another member went into cardiac arrest. He was working out. Someone came and got him. He worked a code. They came back. They went to the hospital. They survived. And then a week later, the exact same thing happened again at the same gym with the same firefighter. He responded again. Same results. So we were able to come back and honor him after, but they were coming to get him. It's not like he was just there working out, trying to mind his own business, had his AirPods in and doing his work. But he went to work and did an excellent job. And we need to honor that.
Yes.
But he did not go to the gym to look for that. That's for certain, you know? Yeah. So, and I love hearing about those stories.
Oh, absolutely. That is a wonderful story. Yeah. Well, hey, as I always give my guest an opportunity, if you would like to say a blessing or a prayer to the listeners and to all the public safety out there as we close out this podcast, I wanted to give you that opportunity if you'd like it.
Sure. I just want to say thank you to all of our men and women who protect us every single day. God has got you in his hand, and he's going to protect you and guide you to do the very best in what you do and how you do it. And he will give you the power and the confidence to make the right decisions. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Chief John Schmidt. Absolutely a pleasure.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it very much.
Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.